Peace be with you. Thank you. I wasn't expecting that, but it's good that you wish peace upon me as well. We treat peace as being oftentimes an absence of war, an absence of conflict. And it might be indeed the case, but peace is more so being well with God. If we are well with God, there are no conflicts, and there would be no wars. When our Lord comes and says, "Peace be with you," if the heart and the soul and the whole being are open to receiving that peace, then it is received, and the whole of one's life then permeates this peace. I don't know how many of you have ever had the great privilege of visiting nuns that are cloistered. They're so peaceful. They're so beautiful. Because they are truly well with our Lord. Most people who are not well with God are hardened and they're nervous, especially in the presence of holy things or people who represent our Lord in some manner or another. A simple crucifix will get people all bent out of shape. Many years ago, a young man, a seminarian, who was part of a congregation that wore cassocks, was visiting France, and for some reason had to bring himself to the hospital in the emergency room. And there he encountered a man who had gotten into a motorcycle accident, and the whole of his body from his chest downwards was crushed and mangled, and he was bleeding profusely. And when he saw the cassock, he started cursing God and cursing the church and cursing the priests and cursing everything that he could think of that was holy. And the young man, seminarian, having a devotion to our Lord's divine mercy, took out his rosary and started praying the chaplet of divine mercy for peace in this man's soul, as this man was very near death. And silently praying the chaplet from his side of the waiting room, the man started growing calmer and more peaceful. And then he called the young man over to him and he said, "Are you a priest?" And he said, "No, I am studying for the priesthood." He said, "Will you pray with me in this last moment because I am dying?" Our Lord promised the whole world through Sister Faustina that if anyone would pray the chaplet of the Divine Mercy on the deathbed of a dying person, that that person would be led to make their peace with God. This man did not have the privilege of the sacraments, but he nonetheless made his peace with God. And only moments before this, he was cursing God and cursing the church. We must see and hear a power that is beyond our understanding. How a simple prayer for the sake of his sorrowful passion have mercy on us and on the whole world, can so change a heart to bring one from being a human devil to one being so angelic as to desire to be in the full communion of God for all eternity in the space of a few moments. These words, peace be with you, they are not just the absence of war, they are the presence of God, the presence of the Blessed Trinity dwelling within the soul where it has wanted to dwell. What is our problem? That some of us should be so hardened that we would refuse to let God dwell in our hearts as He so desires. The problem is that we don't like to suffer. We don't like pain. And we especially don't like pain in the area of pride. Humility is the most needed virtue for conversion and for reconciliation with God. Because the first thing required is that we admit that there has been a wrong that has been done to God in the sin. That wrong is our soul being taken away from Him, our soul being closed off to Him. A refusal not only to love, but a refusal to be loved. The divine mercy is God pleading with us to give Him at least a little chance to show us His love. Divine mercy is expressed through forgiveness of sins. Our Lord shows Himself in the images of the divine mercy and other sacred images with His wounds exposed. In the image of the Sacred Heart, with His heart protruding from His chest and sometimes even in His hand, extending it to us. Please, let me love you. With your lies, with your fraudulent behavior, with your selfishness, with your attitude which goes against my plan of life for so many. Your refusal to spend time with me in prayer. You have contributed to my soul being as I have shown it to be in the Passion and the Crucifixion, torn, pierced, hurting, and yet this biggest wound which you have caused to my heart, this gravest sin of yours which has stabbed through my flesh and into the midst of my heart, I want you to see that this wound is for you a door. Come into my heart through this wound which you have caused me. And in the most inner recesses of my heart, let yourself there be loved. Because all I require is that you turn back to me. And your sins I see not anymore. And I see only you. Because from all eternity I have drawn you into existence so that I could love you. That is the only reason for which we exist. Not to make it big in life, not to get a big house, not to have loads of cars, not for trips, not for toys, to be loved by God. That is all He requires from us. And that being seduced by this love, we would then respond by living out the first commandment, to love with all our hearts and all our minds and all our might. But first to allow ourselves to be loved. Even if we refuse that love, He still does love us. That is the power of God. We cannot stop Him from loving us. No matter how hardened our hearts are, how far we move away from Him, He will always love us. But in order for us to be the recipients of that love, we must be turned to Him and open to receiving it. If we are turned against Him and walking away from Him, we cannot be the recipients of that love. And when we sin, that is what we do. We turn away from God and walk away from Him. And refuse Him the right to love us as He would like to. The greatest means by which God shows us His love is by showering our souls with forgiveness for our sins. The privileged way for this to take place is for one to bring themselves to their knees in confession before our Lord present in those men which He hath chosen to be priests. And to confess not to that man, but to Him who dwells in that man sacramentally and imparts His own forgiveness. When my father, my earthly father, has knelt beside me a handful of times and has said, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." He wasn't confessing his sins to me. He was confessing his sins to Jesus Christ, priest, who has invited men to share in his priesthood, so that he could be present to many in that way. And when my hand is extended before any one of you, and that earthly father of mine, who in faith is my brother, but in that sacrament is my son, and I say, "I absolve you from all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven." It is Jesus who is saying that to him, not me. I have no power as a man to do that. This is what this gospel is about today. Jesus breathed upon the apostles and said, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." In this Sunday of the Divine Mercy, our Lord, through His church and through the liturgy and through the availability of priests, is begging for your hearts to come back to Him. There is no better Sunday to go to confession than this one if you have been away for over a year. for over a month. For any length of time where you have been away from God, come back to Him. Today in this church, after this Mass, two priests will be available to you. But if you should have to leave, there will be seven this afternoon available to hear your confessions. And in addition to simply receiving the sacrament, in this day, a plenary indulgence is granted. If you should receive confession and receive Holy Communion, and you should die on this day, all temporal punishments are taken away and straight into heaven. I close with this story to show how much God does love souls, and that how He goes out of His way to reach us where we are at. But He does nonetheless pleads. A lady in a hospital on her deathbed for weeks on end, visited by a priest friend every single day. But a lady hardened by lack of forgiveness, refusing to forgive those people in her family who have hurt her pride through things that were said about her during her life. And hardening herself so much so that even though she had a great respect for the priest and for the church, had refused to go to confession for years. Every day the priest prayed with her for the softening of her heart. On his way in one day, the doctors told him, "Father, this is her last day. Sometime in the next few hours, it's all going to shut down." But she was still conscious nonetheless. So Father dug into his pocket, and having had a generous donation earlier that day, went to the gift shop and brought the biggest bouquet he could find in the gift shop. $155. Golden letters on the vase. And he brought this to her. And she had tears in her eyes. And she says, "Father, why would you go through such expense? I'm dying." Well, he says, "My dear, I was hoping to make you happy one last time for all eternity. Because in the state in which you are dying, you will not see God. You will not reap the benefits of the Passion of Christ. And so I thought that this would make you happy at least one last time." "Father," she says, "please, will you hear my confession right now, before I die?" And he heard her confession, granted her absolution, said, "Your sins are now forgiven. Go in peace." And so she did. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.